Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Is It Funny? We're taking a U-turn, I guess, a deviation from having gone very much in the direction of Peter Cook in recent episodes. Today's episode is about Eddie Braben, whom many of you may not know because he's a writer. And no one knows writers, right? Why? Because 31st October 1930, Eddie Braben was born. So this Halloween marks the 90th birthday of Eddie Braben, and if only he were around to enjoy it with us. But unfortunately, he died about 7 years ago. There's a really nice brief write-up by Graham McCann, who wrote a biography of Morecambe and Wise, that gives a really good overview of Eddie Braben's career and the important aspects of it, some of which I'll touch on here. A big part of this is, as I've called him several times, one of my big comedy crushes. There's just something singular and fascinating about the comedy writing that Eddie Braben did. Writers don't get the love. We writers all know that. Performers do. And when you write comedy and don't perform it, the performers get the welcome and applause from the crowd and people's memories of what's really funny, and they attach it to the performers. And I mean, this is not surprising and this is not unexpected, but the performers themselves, they remember. They know who's funny. They know who writes well for them. And although it's, it has to be somewhat galling to have your words so successful and have the laughter, at least be able to experience the laughter, and then have it attached to the person. I mean, I've lost count of the number of times that people have shared Robin Williams memes on social media, and always, these wise and intelligent words or funny words and attributed to Robin Williams, which, occasionally, sometimes they are actually things that he said and created. But quite often they're things that, writers have created for the films that he appeared in, and they're attributed to him. And not just Robin Williams. I don't know why I'm picking on him. He was just one that comes to mind, because there are a lot of times where people share memes that are, very meaningful to me this moment. And it's Robin Williams who said that. Well, yes, but he was reading a script. Writers get no love. The performers do. And media doesn't help this. Hollywood hates writers. This is a totally unrelated, well, not totally unrelated, but a kind of unrelated subject, and one that I go into in great detail in something else that I'm working on, films about writers. It's, the true biography of a writer is actually a very dull thing. Admittedly, writing is not a terribly exciting thing to do. It's a lot of sitting and staring off into space and typing a little and then staring off into space some more and getting up and making more tea and tap, 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 tap. It doesn't make for drama. The true biography of a writer is, like a Warhol film. I often say this. So telling the story of a writer's life is sometimes can be a tricky thing, because really successful writers don't tend to get films made about them, and often don't even get books written about them until much later, unless they have sort of either really tragic or really adventurous lives. The kind of things that actually keep you from writing. And so it is amazing when really great artists are able to overcome the terrible things around them, addictions and bad relationships and other sorts of things. It is great when they can overcome that and still manage to write anyway. And for many of them, it's how they overcome all those terrible things. But when, when Hollywood is shorthand for commercial filmmaking, but when Hollywood decides to make a film about a writer, it's almost inevitably nothing about the actual writing process, which they usually show as just them, sort of jotting down in a couple of scenes things that actually happened to them, maybe changing them a little bit. But, all right, got off on a tangent. When I really want to get back to the book, What I Wrote, which is Eddie Braben's book about his career writing comedy, particularly with Morecambe and Wise. And for my American friends, if any are listening, Morecambe and Wise may not be as well known. They're pretty much an institution in Britain, largely due to Eddie Braben's writing. But a lot of the writing that he did for them and the writing that he did for other comedians, like Ken Dodd, who's sort of before Morecambe and Wise, Eddie Braben was writing for Ken Dodd, but he went through the same process with Ken Dodd that he really perfected with Morecambe and Wise, which was really paying attention to who they were and then trying to bring that out in the comedy. Because a lot of comedy, especially in the early, the first half of the 20th century, a lot of it was focused on sort of the gag and creating these kinds of punchline-oriented comedy, and not so much about portraying character. And sort of the second half of the 20th century was really much more about bringing out the sense of character. I mean, the gags and the sitcom format continues now. But this idea of making the characters the base of the comedy was really something that kind of changed at that time. And Eddie Braben was one of the people who was influential in that happening. He was not someone who was born to the world of show business. He was born in Liverpool. In fact, he was born in a dingle, which is where Ringo Starr was also born. So, you know, this kind of connection there. And he actually tells a funny little story about the Beatles. In fact, that's probably the one connection that Americans will have about knowing Morecambe and Wise, who are, you know, these comedy legends in Britain. Americans might know them because of the Beatles anthology, and which has the recording of them appearing on the Morecambe and Wise show. And back in the 70s, with the first sort of revival of Beatlemania in the 70s, they had played those tapes on the radio. Fortunately, my older brother had recorded many of the things that eventually, you know, what, decades later appeared on the BBC, the Beatles anthology, and the Morecambe and Wise one. That's what I first knew them from. So this, in the 70s, I had no idea what the show was that they were appearing on, but they were, and I mean, this is the thing that really struck you about it, is that how excited the Beatles were to be on Morecambe and Wise. So for them, that was a really big deal. And they really enjoyed it and were trying to be just as funny as these comedy heroes that they had. So Eddie Braben, he seems to be somebody who is compulsively funny, but he's also someone, as McCann points out in his profile the other day, that he was someone who was genuinely a nice person. And his comedy was never from a place of cruelty or anger, but was from absurdity and sort of gently poking at sort of our own foibles, and this sense of humanity as something we all shared and sharing, but humanity is something we're all inclined to, you know, sort of get full of ourselves and need to, you know, kind of realize it. And we all have our blind spots that, you know, our friends are kind and support us about. And his observations of the characters of Eric Morecambe and Ernie Wise was to sort of see Eric as always kind of wanting to play the rascal, and Ernie Wise as kind of wanting to show, kind of maintain a kind of respectability, something that this sort of aspirational aspect, and then just to play that up into real comedy. And I mean, one of the things that he realized, which is still one of these things, people do not understand the importance of the straight man. And often seeing Ernie Wise as the straight man to Eric Morecambe, I was struck a couple of years ago, I don't remember how long, but there was a BBC special about the sort of ranking, you know how much I detest hierarchies, but ranking sort of the best comedy heroes, or, well, I forget what it was called, but on the list, they at least had Peter Cook as number one. So, you know, I can forgive it some things. But they had Eric Morecambe alone. And Eric Morecambe without Ernie Wise is not the same thing. And the symbiosis between the two of them, that's something Eddie Braben really understood and really made the most of, and gave so much more to Ernie Wise than just sort of delivering straight lines, and made them really a duo in a way that they had not been before, and gave them this astronomical success that they had ever after. So a lot of what Braben did was just capture moments that really captured their personalities. And one of the funniest things he did, and what the title of his autobiography, the book What I Wrote, plays on, is giving Ernie this ambition to be a writer, to be a serious writer, but to have absolutely no idea what writing meant, and no idea how to write well. And that while the character of Eric Morcom plays is always sort of deflating Ernie's ambitions, he's very protective of him against everybody else. And of course, they had, because of their success, they had, you know, huge stars all wanted to be in guest roles on their show. And a big part of that was always the play What I Wrote that Ernie was writing, and that he was, you know, trying to get these big stars. Probably one of my favorites is Glenda Jackson, who's playing Cleopatra in the play What He Wrote That Week. And, you know, one of her funniest lines, delivered with her, you know, great actorly bearing, is, "All men are fools, and what makes them so is having beauty like what I have got," which is just so good. And all of this was this persona and the way that he sort of drew these things together, and the whole thing about the two of them sleeping in the same bed, which, you know, nowadays everyone's sort of like, oh, homosexual subtext, which, no, it wasn't there at all. And they were a little uncomfortable with it too at first, and Eddie Braben said, you know, it worked for Laurel and Hardy, and after that they were like, oh, well, yeah. It's just that, I mean, in the reality of when they were struggling comedians on the road in the music hall circuits, they did have to share a room and share a bed. So it's, you know, kind of taking that subtext completely out of it. And that it gave this sort of intimacy to their life together, as if, you know, it really were just the two of them always together, always on the road. And of course, one of the very best lines, I mean, again, I hate hierarchies, but surely one of the funniest lines, and you really have to see it in context, is the police car going by, speeding by the window, and Eric looking out and saying, "It's not going to sell much ice cream going at that speed." It's just, you have to really see his delivery. This doesn't do it justice. And of course, one of the other ones, the one that Eddie Braben, who's always like saying, you know, he always want to go back and sort of tinker at things that were written. And in his autobiographies, he talks about sort of things that he never got to have performed, or things that he never quite worked out at the time and then came up with, you know, the fix for. But one of the things that he always said he could not really improve upon, and thought it came out not only perfect in the way it was written, but in every bit of its performance, was the appearance of Andre Previn on Morcom & Wise, otherwise known as Andre Preview. And I won't even try to describe it. I will just say, go online and find it and enjoy it. But it really, it helps if you already have a sense of the relationship between Morcom & Wise and just how beloved they were, because of the, not just the silliness, but the kindness and the skill that went into their performances together. And the Andre Preview one is just so beautiful. And one of the aspects of it that Braben talks about is this sense of, while Eric Morcom is, you know, very funny and witty and just sort of scampishly undercutting things, there's a sense of, if you really press him, he will hit you. Not in the sense of menace, but in the sense that he's going to protect Ernie Wise, that they are friends and that they are that close. And if you hurt his friend, he will hurt you. Not, you know, not in this sort of aggressive, like, I'm going to get you, man. But if you hurt my friend, I'm coming after you. So that's probably quite a bit more than I was going to say. Actually, I should go back to one thing, which is to find how much of this came out of the writing process. And there's a great description in the book What I Wrote about how to write comedy. And let's see. To be a part of a show when it isn't a show, just a stack of pristine A4 paper, up to writing the closing line, is quite a lengthy trek. It usually worked out at one show to about 300 ciggies, 4 gallons of tea, and possibly a few minutes headbutting the wall and asking my wife if she knew any jokes. Let's put a sheet of paper into the typewriter and see what happens. Tip, tap, tip, tap, tip, tap. I type with the 4 fingers of each hand and have done all my writing life, and they now look like pork sausages. What have I written? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. Now, quite honestly, that wasn't too difficult. It's the chunk in between that and good night and thank you for watching that causes all the grief. Every other comedy writer I've ever met agrees totally with me on this, and we often talk about it when we meet in the queue for the free soup and the round of bread from the Sally Army, Chuck Wagon. A little trick I often use in the days when the pressure was on is to draw with a pencil the outline of a TV screen on the wall above the typewriter. And when ideas weren't coming, and that only happened about every day, I'd look at this pretend TV, watch 2 little figures walk into it, and let them do whatever they had a comedy mind to do. It's great the way that he says, you know, just envision, what would you want to see? What would Eric and Ernie do? What would they say to each other? And try to just bring that to life. It's a great story. And it's a great image of the process of trying to bring that joy of the writing to what can be a very difficult process when you feel your mind's empty and you haven't got enough there to refill it. So go out, read some Eddie Braben, find interviews with him, find his writing, find his programs. He's written for a number of performers, the 2 Ronnies, even a little Spike Milligan. There's a story he tells about Spike Milligan maybe swiping one of his pieces, but I highly recommend it, and you really should know the name Eddie Braben. You should go and watch Eric and Ernie with more attention and get some good, fun, easy belly laughs with Eddie and Eric and Ernie. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Well, see? I won't see you. You'll see me. Well, you'll hear my voice. Close enough. It's better that way.